going to be a little different because we have our youth in here, and it's probably going to get a little noisy because they're probably going to be jumping up saying, "Amen, Pastor, preach it, preach it." It's not going to be noisy because they're talking to each other. No, that isn't, because we've got ushers with big sticks. But they will be amening the pastor. See, they're 50 years younger than I am. So can you imagine having that kind of energy? Glory to God. Hallelujah. There's a few verses that I've camped around all my life in the church, and I'm going to refer to two of them right now. Matthew 6 chapter. I spent an entire summer every Sunday morning preaching on financial freedom out of the Bible and how many scriptures are that God wants to bless and give, but there is always a prerequisite. God just doesn't open the heaven because we're worthy. He's looking for something from us before he does something. I will if you will. So, verse 28 of that sixth chapter says, "And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or where's the mortgage going to come from, or where is the car payment going to come from? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." Sometimes we say seek God, but forget about the righteousness thing. And God's saying, if you will do that, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. All of them. Now, God does not lie. Amen. But if we don't put him first, if we don't value righteousness, I'll tell you what, as much as God wants to do something for you, he cannot do it. Glory to God. You young people have an opportunity to have every wish, every desire of your heart fulfilled, but you have to fulfill those two conditions. Then if you go to Jeremiah 29, I camp around this too. Jeremiah 29 and verse number 13, it says, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." Not half-heartedly. Not just a little bit, not just on 2 days of the week. "And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity," or your dilemma, "and I will gather you from all of the nations and from all of the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into a place whence I caused you to be carried away captive." Lord, we ask your blessing upon your word this evening, God, that it would go forth unhindered, Lord, that it would accomplish exactly what you intended it to do tonight, God, that it would last beyond 45 minutes, but it would settle in our heart, that it becomes a part of us. It's all in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You may be seated. If you'd also turn to Luke, the 19th chapter. Starting in verse number 1, it says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. You know, rich people can find God. Amen. Amen. Do you know they need salvation as well? But it's harder, Jesus said, for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God than a camel going through the eye of a needle. Why? Because of all of the cares, all of the opportunities. And he sought to see Jesus, this rich guy, who was who he was, and could not for the press because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And Jesus, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when he saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. So he became part of the promise. And why did he become part of the promise? Because he made an effort to see Jesus. Glory to God. The guy was short and he climbed up a tree. I don't know if he had a three-piece suit on and wingtip shoes, but it didn't matter. I was going to get up the tree so I could see Jesus. He didn't have a problem. He didn't have a care. He had plenty of money. He had stature, but he had a desire to see Jesus. I know guys who will climb up a tree stand and sit in it for hours in cold weather, but they can't take two steps up the back stairs of our church. Now, there's something wrong when you put more effort and more desire into doing a sport or a hobby or something that's pleasurable than coming to the house of the Lord who can make the difference in your life. Hallelujah. But see, there has to be something stirring within us. And you know, if that doesn't keep stirring in us, we become stagnant and we revert right back to, we can have a reversal of our born again into going back to what we were. Would you turn to 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter? First Timothy chapter 4, and starting in verse number 13. Till I come, give attendance to reading and exhortation, to doctrine. These are all important. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands and of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear unto all. Take heed unto thyself, young Timothy, and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. So by holding on to these things and continuing in them, you're not only saving somebody else, but you're saving yourself as well. Because there's something about our human nature that wants to revert back to what we were. Then if you go to 2 Timothy, the 1st chapter, and verse number 5, it says, when I call to remembrance the unfraying faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I persuade that it is in thee also, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up or rekindle the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So Paul's saying to this Timothy, this young preacher, he's saying, you know what? Your grandmother served God and your mother served God. And I believe there's something within you. Young people, there's something within you because you got parents in here and grandparents in here that live for God. And I'm persuaded it's in you as well. But you need to stir it up. Get it excited. Hallelujah. If old fogies like me and others in here can get excited about God, hallelujah, the teenagers ought to get excited about God. Glory to God. Now, I don't know why he wrote this letter to Timothy. Well, of course, he's writing it to us as well. Timothy, stirred up the gift that is in you, getting a little cold in your soul, Timothy? Huh? Missing a little church, Timothy? You know, I used to see you praying a lot, Timothy, but I don't see that happening anymore. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Glory to God. Psalms 73. Glory to God. You young people, are you going through your pages? Hallelujah. I tell you, this thing is important to bring it to church. Glory to God. Psalm 73, verse 25, it says, whom have I in heaven but thee, and there is none upon earth that I desire besides thee. David's saying, you know, there isn't anything more important or anything that I desire more than God. And then Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26 and verse number 8. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul, the desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Jesus said in Mark 11 and 24, therefore I say unto you, what things ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. The things that you desire. I want you to see the power of what Jesus is saying. You can have what you desire. In this world, nothing can be accomplished without some kind of desire. Amen. What do you want? We're living in a country, we're living in a day where you can just about have anything if you put forth the effort because you have a desire. Desire is the fuel that fires the soul to accomplish something or even anything. If we don't have a desire, we are already defeated. If you don't have a desire, you may not press for an education or a job or a family or a vacation. Not without desire, you're not going to have it. We all in the church have to have some desire to seek after God, because if the desire is gone, the relationship is gone. Hallelujah. Amen. From time to time, I counsel husbands and wives, but basically what I am doing is I'm counseling every time I stand behind this pulpit, because it's the relationship between the wife and the groom. And I'm telling you how you can have a better relationship with the groom. If you don't make any effort in order to continue with the relationship, tell you what, there may be a divorce down the road. No one can force us to do anything. Amen. God gave us this free will. But we got that desire as a gift that was delivered when we were filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. That gift needs to be stirred up from time to time. Philippians 2 and 13 says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure." So it wasn't our idea, but God has put his will or desire within us to say, "I want to do that." Amen. Amen. I remember getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning to go golfing, but I couldn't get to the church at 10 o'clock in the morning. You know, I had a desire for golf, but I didn't have a desire for God. Well, God turned that all around and put a desire for the things that he loved within me. And now I think those people are crazy who would get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to go stand in wet ground. It is imperative that we have a desire to live for God. And it is the Holy Ghost that keeps the desire alive in us. It's not a matter of fake it until you make it. It's not a matter of, well, everybody else is doing it, I'll do it too. You know, because you can fool people some of the time, but you'll never fool God. Amen. People will not continue to live for God if they have lost their desire. Webster defines desire as a longing for, to crave, to have an appetite for. God put that desire in us that wasn't there at our first birth, but then it arrived at our second birth. Glory to God. I have a desire to know God. Desire can't just show up because the music machine moves in our church. You know? Boy, if you would have played some different songs tonight, man, wow, we could have really had a good time. It's not about the music machine. Hallelujah, or the special speaker or the special service that we have. Desire says, I've got to get to my God, a driving desire to know God and to please God. And it is that kind of desire that will deliver us from the many defeats in life. And if we seek God first, then all of these things shall be added unto us. But if we don't seek God, in retrospect, we're going to be frustrated people, you know? Just like a lot of denominational churches who simply go to church, but they're not putting their whole life in the hands of God, and now they're frustrated because they don't see things happen, and so they blame God when they really should be blaming themselves. The thing that bothers me most as a pastor is when I see people who have lost their desire to live for God, and I fear for them because their days are numbered. Because if you don't continue to have this insatiable craving and desire for God, eventually you'll be gone. Well, somebody said something and it really bothered. No. Long time ago, they lost their desire for God. Because there isn't one person in here who can offend me enough to take me out of the church. Hallelujah. It was the difference between David and Saul. You know, both kings. Saul lost his desire for God, and in 40 years, Saul didn't one time inquire of the Ark of the Covenant that was lost. Not one time. You know, he was doing his thing without God. Oh, he knew God, and he knew God was real, but he really wasn't that interested in God because he had a lot of king things going on. And sometimes we know God and we even have this special experience with God, but we got a lot of this king stuff going on. Right. Hallelujah. But the first thing David did when he became king was to go after the Ark of the Covenant. Oh, I'm feeling the Holy Ghost right now. The first thing we did, as we went after the Ark of the Covenant, we wanted to be close to God. David was consumed with his desire for God. We need to be careful in the last little generation before the Lord comes that we don't lose our insatiable craving for God. when we received the Holy Ghost. You know, we didn't have to put out a great big memo to those who are filled with the Holy Ghost, please come back to church sometime. You know? Glory to God. Because God will meet us at the level of our desire. I remember saying to somebody, this is maybe over 30 years ago, they were having a hard time getting the Holy Ghost, and I remember saying, you know, I'm going to fast and pray Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, and when you come Wednesday, you're going to get the Holy Ghost. But I'm not going to do it alone. If you fast and pray and seek God, you come to the church, there isn't any doubt in my mind you're going to get the Holy Ghost. And that's exactly what happened. But they had this desire for it. Amen. At a point where they were willing to do something in order to receive something. Glory to God. God is confined to our desire, not his desire. He has the greatest desire to heal some people and fill some people and deliver some people, but it's not going to happen until our desire meets his level of desire. Paul's desire was great, and God took him up into the third heaven to witness unspeakable things. It can't be just another Sunday morning, not another Wednesday night. We can't come with our mind on leaving. Thing is long, isn't it? David said, I was mad. No. He said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, Moses wasn't on the mountain for 40 days worried about missing a Packer game. But what about that family gathering? You know, I'm up here. God, you know, I got family waiting on me. Wow, is it getting quiet? If our desire for spiritual things decrease, our appetite for the world will increase. Because we're going to have a desire for something, folks. You know? Glory to God. Over the years, I have recognized that some people just want to be saved. That's it. I'm saved, got that requirement out of the way, and that's all my obligation is. But that isn't enough for anyone to really enjoy their salvation. I've said this millions of times. It's easy to serve God hard, but it's hard to serve God easy. And those who just are on a part-time basis don't even get part-time benefits. But if you're on a full-time basis with God, you can walk up to the window and ask what you will according to your desire. Hallelujah. Amen. If you lose that soon, you're going to be dragging yourself into church. And I just want to be saved. That's all, you know. But I don't want to be just saved. I want to enjoy my salvation. I want to know the secret things of God. I want to have an intimate relationship where he whispers things in my ear. I want him to give me revelation. I want him to give me insight. I want to know his voice. Psalm 63:2 says, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have been seen in the sanctuary. And so what David is saying is, you know, I don't want to just have this experience when I come to church. I want to have this experience all of the time. Forgive me, but there have been people who said, I just got to get to church because I'm getting so dry. Well, what are you doing at home? You know, this is not just a filling station. See, I want what's going on in the sanctuary to go on in my everyday life. why not have a song service in the morning, folks? Amen. All my spiritual life, I've lived just a little ways from here built a house 42 years ago. And my office was always in downtown Milwaukee, out in Hales Corners, Mayfair. And so every morning I'd get in my car and I'd be driving. And all during that time I had song service, you know. I did a little announcement, you know, maybe a special, and then talk to God. And by the time I got to work, it was tolerable. But if you got to wait until you get the church in order to get in a good mood, there's something wrong. You're not having enough church. Hallelujah. Amen. And not just when all of the conditions are right for worship, but I want a reservoir of divine resource to be with me all of the time in the restaurant, while I'm cutting grass, while I'm paying bills. Yes, you can even worship God while you're paying bills. Hallelujah. I can't just count on a church experience to sustain me. Amen. I go to see my wife twice a week. I know it's an obligation, I know. And, you know, talk to her a little bit, and then, you know, we just go our separate ways for another week, and then Sunday morning we talk again. Well, that wouldn't work very well for the relationship. Hallelujah. You young people, I didn't hear a word yet. Did you want to say amen? You preach it, big guy, something like that. Huh? Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, when I leave the church tonight, church isn't over. I hope I'm not the only nut in here, you know. But that's how I feel. Sometimes I feel like, you know, am I the only person that gets that excited about God all of the time? But it's my life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, if something else takes a priority, well, I like to go to church, but I've got these other things I got to do. You know, I got to, you know what? You're not going to get all these things that you desire. I can't get enough of God in just an hour and a half. I just can't. Amen. You know, you can't just stock up God. Church services stir up the gift Amen. That is within us. Amen. They increase our desire for God so he can meet us at a higher level. Amen. David said in Psalm 63, my soul followeth hard after thee. You know, is that why God loved the guy so much? What's the matter, David? Are you backslidden that you got to follow after God so hard? No. He got a taste of God, and that caused him to just want a little more of God. You know. Turn to Psalms 42, if you will. Psalms 42 and verse number 7. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspout. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. When we have a great move of God, it's like a wave of God moving in this place. I've said this before, but I think I was only in the church for maybe 8 months or a year. It was a Wednesday night, and my thing is always to get to church early. It's one of those things. I just don't want to be late for anything, and conversely, I'm always very early. I got here at 10 minutes to 6 tonight, And, you know, got a hold of God before this service. But I remember I came and there were like six or seven people in the congregation, and I was sitting like in the center there, just opening my Bible, you know, putting my mind on God. And as I sat there, God moved in that place. No music was going on. And it was like someone had taken a pail of cold water and threw it in my face. And I went, and then I saw a person next to me and a person a little further down feel that same overflow of God in their life. God was so excited for this service that he already was allowed. Deep calleth unto deep. They say they're skin divers, that when they go down so far, there's a real risk that they won't want to come up. Because there's something that happens to them that says, I'm not going back up. This is just too beautiful. Glory to God. Amen. Jeremiah 24. Jeremiah 24 and verse number 7, it says, and I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. I'm going to be their Lord, and they're going to be my people, but they're going to come to me with their whole heart. Amen. Now, I understand there's all kinds of distractions in this life. There's things that we have to take care of. There's no question about it. We can't just go in some monastery someplace and, you know, just concentrate on God. And God wants us to interact in this world as well. But never do we have a greater priority than God in our life. God's menu didn't stop at Acts 2 and 38. God has so much more for each of us. We have to have a desire in order to get that. Have you ever seen someone walking their dog, pulling them by the neck, you know? Come on! We're going for a walk. You know, my dog isn't like that. He's got a neighbor dog that he loves so much that he pulls me down the road because he wants this fellowship so bad, you know? But it's not very pleasurable if you have to pull your dog along to go for a walk. And I don't want my walk with God to be like that. Where God has to pull me into every service, you know, pull me to the altar. Well, if he would have made a better altar call, I would have come up there for sure, you know. And then what's her name is up here, and I don't want to, you know, if she's up here. As a pastor, I can provoke and try to teach, but I can't carry anybody to a place where they'll find God. God does not have a retiring program. What he has is a refiring program, you know? Remember when Jeremiah just got so tired of preaching to people who wouldn't respond? You know, all of those years, the weeping prophet, God's power would come over him and he began to weep. And not one person ever responded to his ministry. So he told God, I'm resigning. But he didn't need to retire. He just needed to refire. And Jeremiah 20 in verse number 9 says, then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shot up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Oh, that God would be like a fire in us, stirring us. I've got to speak more of my God. Get me to the house of God. Get me to God. Hallelujah. God, I thought you were going to set up a kingdom here, and then you went to Calvary. And Peter said, I'm going fishing. I'm retired. But God wouldn't let him retire. He showed him there's something more important than your career. Hallelujah. Jonah resigned because he didn't like where God was sending him. So God took him on a boat tour and then a fish tour. And then after that, he didn't have to comb his hair anymore because there wasn't any hair. Fish belched him up white on a beach. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, that same fire is in this place tonight. Hopefully to stir somebody who's been a little cold, to give you a renewal desire and refire. There's a great difference between a quitter and a recommitter. God doesn't sponsor quitters. This service is designed so that no one would ever resign from doing what God has called them to do. God's here to stir up a gift and to refresh a fire and to cause us to say, nothing's going to cause me to move. So let's bring this down to where everybody can understand. Ever been to one of those all-you-can-eat places, you know? People who need to go home and eat cottage cheese are walking around with three plates of food, you know? Looking like a gorilla with a hernia. I think it's got something to do with their desire, you know? And some people walk in here and all they want is cottage cheese. When they can have as much of God as they want, just get as much and be completely satisfied, hallelujah, amen. He set up a complete banquet for us every time. All you can eat as long as you're here, why not satisfy the craving of your soul? Amen. Don't ever put yourself on a spiritual diet. You know, we need some fat bones in this place. Glory to God. Don't go home hungry and eat cottage cheese of the world when you can be satisfied in the house of God. Hallelujah. As long as you're here, why not worship? Amen. As long as you're here, why don't you speak in tongues a little bit? As long as you're here, why don't you get a part of God's word inside of you? You come to church, you put on the tie, you get dressed. Oh. You know, glory to God. If you leave here empty, it's not God's fault. We are as close to God as we desire to be. We can live, you know, enjoy unspeakable. I you know, there are several people who have told me that they've gone through some very difficult times recently, and there was a peace of God that they couldn't understand. I should be nervous. I should be worried about this. But that's because they put God first, and God gives them the peace in their life and the, all of what they need. I took my wife to a cardiologist today for an appointment that she had, and as we were walking out, somebody yelled, "Hey, there's the Schumachers!" So I turned around, and I looked, and then I finally recognized them, and they were the couple that were responsible for bringing my wife and I into church. But they didn't look like they're going to church. No. And the strangest thing is last night I dreamt about them. And when I saw them, I was just so shocked that God set up this appointment, you know? But I couldn't help to think their desire has waned. Told me about his cottage up north, and told me about their condominium in Florida, and about the grandkids, and all the other things they're involved with, but they did not seek you first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and they never thought they would be out of the church, but their desire waned. No longer did God satisfy them. I was in Bible studies with them where she was in the middle of the Bible study and she was crying so uncontrollably that she had to go lock herself in the bathroom. What happened? You know, people don't lose out with God like a blowout. It's just a slow leak. Until finally, hallelujah, we all live at the self-appointed level of desire. And it's our desire that determines the satisfaction and completeness that we have in life, not just church, but in life. You know, Paul said, you know, I know what it's like to be abased, and I know what it's like to have plenty, but you know what? I've learned that I'm content in whatever state that I am in, because the most important thing is I count it all done except for my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we're at that point, then nothing can get us down, because we've got Jesus. Why was David a man after God's own heart? Psalm 27 and 4 says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire at his temple." That's all I want. That's all I want. I just want to get close to God. I just want to be with God's people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I was glad when they said unto me, "I better, because the pastor's going to call." You know? Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Hallelujah. That he would allow me to feel his presence. It's such an incredible compliment to me that I, listen, number one. You're number one. Amen. You're number one, Jesus. Amen. You're number one. Amen. Would you stand with me, please?
Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus. Amen. Do you know, I really believe that in Hebrews 10 and 26 where it says, "Gather yourself all the more as you see the day approaching," it's because our feelings are going to be so pulled in so many different directions because of what this world has to offer. It grieves me that somebody would have their kids in Little League on a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning or soccer when so important for them to be in the house of God. That was unthinkable in the day that I grew up. But today, you know, there are substitutes for church, substitutes for God. But you know what? There's no substitute for the void that is created in each and every one of us that can't be filled by anything else but a real relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You can have it all, folks. And you can have absolutely nothing. And one day we'll take our last breath. And I know that's millions of years away for you young people. But, you know, you're going to want something from God in a short period of time. And you're going to knock on his door. And he's going to wonder, have you been faithful? Hallelujah. I want the best for all of us. But you know what? The best for all of us is Jesus Christ. The altar is open. Would you come?